watch a Patriots game, see it firsthand, see how the crowds interacted with the content that I created.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner, here with Matt Anderson. Today, we're talking to Jerry Shaw, a digital artist for Daktronics Creative Services. He tells us a little bit about his role and what we do down in Creative Services, everything from pre-visualizations to animations for displays and more.
So we're joined by our good friend here, Jerry Shaw, who is back in Brookings here for the last couple weeks here at our corporate headquarters. And we thought, what a good opportunity while you're in town here, Jerry, to come on the podcast here and talk with us. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It should be fun.
So you work down in creative services for Daktronics. Can you tell us a little bit about what creative services is and then maybe a little about what you do for your job?
Yeah, sure. Creative services is the part of the Daktronics that makes the content that actually goes on the screens. You know, anything from your standard animations to some video intros to the sponsor graphics, as well as some of the new interactive content that that Creative Services has been kicking out lately.
So you say kicking out lately, what are some of the new projects that you have been working on? I know in previous episodes we talked, you know, about baseball is obviously right here, right now. Spring training has been going on for a while. Is there any cool and exciting things you've been working on for baseball customers?
Currently, my big project right now is for the Texas Rangers. So we're working on a lot of content for them. Currently working on some noise prompts. And then we're also doing, I think, a lot of other new kind of fun interactive pieces, you know, that are pretty cutting edge, I feel. And, you know, that's kind of the new thing. You know, they're not just wanting the stock animations.
So you said they're not really wanting the stock animations. They're looking for something more interactive. Is that one of the bigger trends you're starting to see? Or are there any other trends in the content creation world you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, the same old just doesn't seem to be grabbing enough. So people want to be interacting with the sign. You know, they've got their phones out and they want to feel involved in the game these days. So, you know, the being able to interact with the 120-foot giant TV while you're at the stadium, you know, it just adds that another level of engagement and really gets the crowd into it and really gets them, you know, to engage more with the team. And
I'm so sorry.
We'll cut that out. Sorry, you're going good. I didn't want to do
that. Yeah, we're not going to cut that out. Matt's just coughing up a lung over here.
Yeah,
we'll try to power through while he's got the coughsies.
He's dying over here.
Sorry. It was terrible.
You need some water? I have water over here.
I had to get some water.
He just offered you some water. He's got some water right here.
Whoa, look at that. Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah, no problem.
So
you're debating whether to use this or not, aren't you?
No, hear the bloop. That's
what I heard the big old bloop from your big cold chug that you took there.
Oh, is that made from the Eskimos in Alaska? So cold.
But no, on top of the interactive stuff, you know, the static sponsor stuff that you see in a lot of the older stadiums, that really seems to be going away, and they want more of the, I'd say the dynamic broadcast production quality graphics, and, you know, they want... I froze.
I can see that.
So now that we know what some of the customers are looking for, you're the one behind the scenes actually creating that and putting it together and make it happen. What do you say a typical day is like for you?
You know, show up to work, you open up your email, kind of see if there's any changes that came in from your project manager or account managers for projects you might have been working on the day prior. And then you kind of start into your design work again. You know, you open up. Our primary programs are Adobe After Effects, Adobe Premiere, occasionally Adobe Audition, Cinema 4D, and, you know, you just kind of, depending on the project, we'll kind of determine what programs you're working in that day.
Are you jumping back and forth between programs a lot? Is it just project by project basis?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, every project's going to have After Effects, every project's going to have Cinema 4D. Whether it's a, you know, say a video intro, you're going to use Premiere to edit your video. Audition, generally you use it to edit the songs and different sound files too. But I'd say on a day-to-day basis, it's primarily After Effects and Cinema 4D.
So a lot of these design softwares were not meant with LED displays in mind, right? Is there anything you do differently knowing that you're creating content for an LED display? Or is it the same as you would make for a TV or anything else that you would create it for?
With Daktronics, one of the big limitations we found with the software is our ribbon displays. So our ribbon displays are so wide, they're, you know, you're talking tens of thousands of pixels wide. And generally these software programs didn't really take that into account. So we have to run it through a lot of, I wouldn't say a lot of other programs, but some other programs to make it as top quality as it can be and not have an astronomical file size that isn't going to allow it to play back smoothly on the display. So we have to run it through a few different output filters and things like that to make it you know, the best possible file for the client to play back smoothly on the displays.
Because you got to make sure when it comes to those ribbon displays too, right, that it that it'll look clear, that the text looks clear. So, I mean, obviously you have to take a lot of that into mind when you're creating the content on the software program. Is there anything you do to make sure, you know, guidelines, fonts don't get over this certain size or this length or anything like that?
Yeah, and you don't have to give away the secret sauce here and give away all the tips and tricks or anything, but just any general guidelines for everyone out there to know.
I mean, that's one thing I think we as creative services do very, very well is our ribbon displays. You see a lot of, you know, clients that maybe don't go with Daktronics Creative Services or don't go with us, and, you know, you can tell that they're not used to creating such a unique canvas, I guess, for when it comes to the ribbon displays. So, like, with the font and text, you know, you got to be very careful that you're not using too thin a font. You know, it's quite a different realm when it comes to the LED displays and the ribbon displays as opposed to like print or say broadcast graphics. But we try to throw as much much quality as in say as the ESPN or, you know, the broadcast graphic style. So
being with Daktronics, it's pretty common to work with those ribbon display aspect ratios, that long and narrow stuff. Are there any other really unique projects you get to work on because of the different types of displays we produce?
Yeah, I mean, we've done quite a few different sizes. You know, generally with broadcast, it's your standard, you know, 1920, 1080 television size. But with Daktronics, you know, you work on anything that's, you know, say a 48 pixel tall by 12,000 wide ribbon display. Or you have displays like what the Detroit Lions have in their stadium, where it's a large, cylindrical, almost a portrait style.
Yeah, the super columns.
Yep, the super columns. So, you know, you have to also accommodate for that. You have to know how to create a design that's going to look good on, you know, all aspect ratios. So, you know, it's a fun puzzle to put together.
So when you get started in these projects, I imagine you get involved way ahead of time, because sometimes, you know, we will be working on a stadium project and the stadium's not going to be built for maybe a year out. Do you come in really early? And then how does that testing process go? Are you guys involved with testing that content as soon as it's installed on site? Or what do you do before it's even, you know, an actual product?
So I guess when the board gets installed, generally they're running like your standard catalog content, something that we've already created.
It's generally test patterns, maybe?
Yeah. Well, not even so much test patterns, but we have a general catalog, set of catalogs that they can take with them and test, you know, you know, how the content looks, board brightness, you know, different things like that. If they have to calibrate, you know, different pieces like that. And that's kind of a big part of Creative Services too, is our catalog. You know, we have quite an extensive catalog. It's customizable. You know, we can swap out logos, colors, you know, things of that sort, as well as, you know, the different sizes. So
that's a good point. You brought up the test patterns and different things that you do that most people wouldn't think. Are there any other projects or aspects that you guys work on that not a lot of people would see? I mean, we know the animations now, we know the test patterns. Are there other things that you do behind the scenes for creating content? I mean, sometimes the customer might not necessarily know what their display is going to look like. Do you help give them pre-visualizations of what it might look like? Do you create conceptuals, any of that type of thing?
Yeah, so also in our department, we have a great conceptual team. So they'll, you know, even maybe before the facility is built, they'll come in, you know, sales will often ask them, you know, to give what is a pre-visualization of what the stadium's going to look like with, you know, these ribbon boards or this center hung or, you know, this marquee venue outside. So the conceptual team will, you know, gather all the, you know, photos. They'll either mock up the whole stadium in 3D so they can put it in there. Or a lot of times we'll get it from, you know, whoever's going to build it. Or if it's an existing facility, they're able to take pictures of the inside and overlay content, different displays, and, you know, show the customer really firsthand what it's going to look like. Because a lot of times for the customer to visualize what a 120 foot by 60 foot sign is going to look like at the end of their building, you know, they can't quite grasp it. But when they see it in a picture, it's like, Oh, yeah. There it is.
The numbers sound big, but what does that actually look like on the side of my building?
Yep. Yeah. It's like, oh, so 160 isn't going to fit and we have to go 140. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's able to give the client a better feel of what exactly they're getting.
Sounds like realistic expectations.
Yep.
So you make sure then it's not just grabbing a picture from the site and throwing a display over it, though. You're actually making sure, you know, it's to scale, it's in the locations they want, so that whatever they see in that pre-visual is, to make sure whatever they see in that preview of what it is, that it's actually going to turn out that way. I can't say pre-visualization.
Pre-visualization.
Yep.
Yeah, that.
That. Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of times the sales guy will be on site, and so they'll work with the facility, and you know, they'll bring a tape measure, they'll bring a laser rangefinder and get all the measurements that we need. That way we're actually, obviously, because sales needs it to quote the right product, we need it to show the right product. So, that, I mean, it's a tandem back and forth of working with sales and marketing to get the right measurements that we need. And, you know, if it say it's not going to fit, it might not fit.
So you've done a lot of these different mock-ups, and I know I've seen some that we've used at trade shows before where your group will actually make a, you'd start with a 3D model, I'm assuming, but it turns into like a virtual reality type thing because we brought goggles with to different trade shows. And I know we used them for the Atlanta Falcons, I believe, to help show what is a unique display, you know, in their case, the Halo display, never been done before like that. So it helps them really see what it's going to look like for people.
Yeah, so we've got a great group of guys that work on the conceptual side, and so they worked with very closely with sales, with the actual facility, and got a 3D model of the stadium that they were building, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and then worked and created content and actually built to scale all the rings, displays, and things that they had inside the stadium, and then put it into a VR program, and we're able to load it onto the VR headset. And for those of you who don't know, VR, virtual reality. So when you put the goggles on, you're looking around. It's like you're actually sitting in seat 3A of Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Nice.
Looking up and around. You're looking at, you know, all the different ribbon displays with content running. It was, that was a big, a big thing that we put for the Mercedes-Benz Stadium and the Atlanta Falcons. And, I think that was Definitely something we'll probably do more of in the future.
It was definitely a hit, I remember, at those trade shows. When people would put them on, we always had to make sure that someone was standing around them to make sure that they weren't walking around. Because I think one of the views was from the middle of the field, like around the 50-yard line. So they're looking up and around going, wow. And then they had the urge to start walking. We made sure they didn't go into, foot traffic.
Yeah, it might look like you're there, but you're not really there.
Yep. Yeah, you should have them sign a waiver and make sure they're not going to injure themselves. But no, it definitely, I think it was a groundbreaking project. It's something that we hadn't really done before with the VR headset, but I could see it definitely catching on and becoming more of a prominent thing when we do pre-visualizations.
So you've talked a little bit about what you do and all these extra interesting tidbits from this. Let's take a step back, and Matt would say Quentin Tarantino this, and see... how did you get your start at Daktronics Creative Services?
Oh, boy. So now we're stretching back there a little ways. We're going way back. So I started at Daktronics back in February of 2002. I got hired on as a freshman in college to the manufacturing floor here at Daktronics. So I worked in what was business products subassembly.
Okay.
So it was making the wiring harnesses and different inside components that went into, say, like a Venus. Just like the small business units are the smaller business LED displays. So I can't remember what they used to call them. I want to say it was a Venus something. It was like the smaller displays, generally like monochrome.
Oh, okay.
So, and then, work a little bit in the shell department where you're actually putting the cabinets together and then...
final assembly, yeah.
Final assembly. So, a lot of these names have changed over the years, but back in 2002...
this is what back in my day.
Back in my day, yep. I get to actually say that, so...
That's weird.
But no, that's what they were called back then. And so I worked down there for 2.5 years and then actually got hired into what was Keyframe back in... So 2.5 years after that... And which is now Creative Services. So again, back in the day.
Yeah, some brand changing since then.
Yep. So yeah, worked down there till I graduated from college. When I graduated, I ended up getting a full-time job up in the large sports venues or LE market in marketing as a conceptual artist and digital artist. 2014, when I fully transitioned over to just a full-time animator slash art director, and then been there ever since.
Have you liked that transition going from the conceptuals over to that? Is it, do you like a lot of different software now? Do you feel a little more challenged? How do you like the difference between it?
It's same software that I used. It's just, it's a little bit different. It's less on the sales side. So you don't deal with the sales and marketing as much. You deal more with, you know, the end user, the client, you know, then it's more, you know, content based rather than, you know, actually, you know, making signs and stuff that, you know, less pre-visualizations.
It's a tough word.
Yeah. It is tough.
Matt slipped me up. I blame him.
Yeah, you tricked him. How dare you?
You.
See, it's contagious. I couldn't pronounce the word, and now you can't pronounce the word.
Last man standing over here. But we'll get away from pre-visualizations and go on to something else now.
We'll talk about conceptuals.
So, yeah. So you're moving over and you're doing projects now for some of the bigger customers that we have. Do you find yourself, you know, watching it on TV, though, and just, like, you know what teams, what stadiums you've made content for? And so, I mean, the feeling of seeing it when it's on TV or going to a game and seeing it, how does that feel?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, you're watching, you know, say Monday Night Football, and all of a sudden they pan to the big video display at the end of the end zone, and all of a sudden you see touchdown, scroll across, you're like, ugh! I did that. Did everyone see that? I did that. And, you know, if you don't have DVR, you know, it's funny when you have DVR and you can go pause and then you can bring everyone into the room and be like, I made that. And like,
take a picture of it.
And if nobody's there, you Snapchat it to all your friends.
Oh, yeah. You have to. That's a must.
So is there a favorite project that you've worked on that you've seen it and it was really impressive to you?
The coolest one, I mean, for me personally, was the Patriots. So with the New England Patriots here a couple years ago, I was the art director, so I started from scratch. So I came up with the look that they wanted, built most of the animations, and you know, worked with them throughout the season, and you know, got to watch them roll through the playoffs. We actually modified quite a few of their graphics to fit the playoff games that they were playing in the stadium. So it was fun to work with them throughout the season, and then was actually given the opportunity to go to the stadium to watch a Patriots game, see it firsthand, see how the crowds interacted with the content that I created. And, you know, you come away with so much, you know, being in the stadium, like seeing how the clients are, you know, playing your content, not quite as how you would picture it in your head, them playing it. You know, they maybe mix and matched a little bit. They play certain things on these boards all the time, you know, and on the video display, maybe they wouldn't play, you know, one of these items as much, you know. So it was really, I mean, it was a really good learning experience to see how, you know, you make all this content and all these different board sizes that they don't use it all at once. You know, they use it kind of, I mean, it's like a big puzzle to them. So it was really interesting to see how they used it. And then, you know, obviously to see how the crowd reacted, you know, personally, I came away with like the make noise, you know, the get loud. I mean, those actually get the crowd hyped up.
They work,
you know, and it's just, to me, it was like, wow, you know, we do so many, you know, make noise or get loud prompts in a year. I mean, every team wants them, you know, so it's hard to, you know, keep that fresh and, you know, come up with new ideas so that, you know, it doesn't get bland, doesn't look like just a stock animation you pulled off of somewhere.
Right.
So
you try and customize a little bit for each customer.
Yeah. Yeah. You try to customize it for the customer and just come up with a new look. Cause I mean, we've been doing, you know, make noise and get loud and these different prompts for so many years, you know, it's, you know, it gets difficult to be ahead of the curve and to stay fresh. And, you know, with the new content that we're kind of coming out with the interactive and the, you know, the different items like that, you know, I think we're pulling ahead of the pack and, you know, hopefully able to, you know, offer something new to customers and really make that, you know, in stadium experience something special.
Yeah, and that's the difference right there of the in-stadium experience. You know, what I got away from your stories, Jerry, is there's two different feelings you get. There's the seeing it on TV, pausing it, you know, showing it and seeing it's cool, and that's awesome. But then there's that completely other experience of actually being there in the game and seeing it and seeing people react to it. And I think that's the thing you're getting at, too, is how do you get people into the stadium so they can experience things like that? Because it's completely different than even you just seeing it when you're on your couch watching the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you even have a different, interesting experience from it, too, because you could be looking at a box on your computer screen and saying, I'm making this piece of content to fit this box, And you never know exactly how they're going to use it or when they're going to use it or what moment of the game or how that's going to work with everything else in the stadium that they've got that you've pieced together. Like, I like how you said it's a puzzle for them and they can put any of these pieces on at any different time. It really makes it an interesting experience to think of that and say, I made it for this box and they lit it up at this time with that other content. And all together, it makes this huge experience for everyone in the stadium.
Yep. You know, with a lot of our clients, you know, and a lot of them do what is called a moment of exclusivity. So it's where all the boards are one piece of content, essentially. So it's all going to be touchdown. Mm-hmm. Well, that rarely happened at the game I watched. You know, the main display was primarily used for, you know, video and your scoring and, you know, maybe some sponsor stuff. But, you know, like when touchdown came on, you know, it was up for a minute. But then, I mean, all the other auxiliary boards, the ribbon boards, you know, your vomitory boards, mm-hmm. you know, the different things like that. Those were, you know, touchdown, and maybe some of them were touchdown number two, you know, because we'd make multiple of them. It wasn't just one touchdown animation that we make. So they'd really mix and match it up. It, you know, to me, I don't know if I saw the same puzzles. I mean, different
the same
pieces.
Configuration
yeah, it
content.
Wasn't,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't configured the same for any of the same touchdowns. And I don't know if you remember last year, the fog, was it last year or 2 years ago? The Patriots played in a football game where
I remember that.
That was the game that I was at. And so really, really surreal. I mean, the fog just dropped in and, you know, it was really cool to see all the, you know, all the displays and kind of how they used them and how they got the crowd going and how they, you know, honestly gave themselves the home field advantage. You know, that 12th man was really fascinating. Well, and right now, you know, our biggest contract or our biggest things going on right now is baseball season. Yep. So right now we're working on, you know, teams like the Angels, Astros, Indians, Mets, Royals. Personally, I'm working on the Texas Rangers. You know, there's a lot of NCAA teams. Minor league baseball is huge for us. Also, you know, I think it's Las Vegas Aviators.
Yep.
They're just installed the largest display in minor league baseball. So that's pretty cool. I mean, the opportunity to work on things like that should be pretty fun, especially with the interactive stuff that we got coming out and the different games and, you know, different ways to go back and forth with the crowd.
Yeah, so I'm not trying to throw you a curveball here, no pun intended, but how long does it usually take from the time that you need to create the content before it'll actually be delivered to the customer to be put on those displays? Is there a certain lead time that's necessary?
Just depends on the animation. So most of our main projects are going to be about a week. But, you know, if they, depending on how our schedule looks, but I mean, they can lead right up until game day. I mean, there's been times where we're the day before opening day and we've just getting stuff out to the client just because it, you know, of our workload and mm-hmm. maybe some revisions or whatnot. But, I mean, we work right up until the deadline. We get it to the trainers and get it to the facility.
Yeah. I suppose I asked that before I even thought some of those pieces of content, it depends on how complex they might be.
Yeah.
Like a full animated open is going to take more than a week than a crowd prompt for one size display type thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, or even how many displays there are in the stadium. You may have two main video boards, right? But there are different sizes. And then you have your vomitory displays, ribbon displays, all those different types, or even scores tables. If you're talking basketball, I mean, you can get into a lot of different sizes that you probably have to same look and type of content, but you got to adjust all those individual sizes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's another fun piece of the puzzle is how do you make something that fits on, you know, your 1920 by 1080 video display? How do you make it look nearly identical to something that's 48 or 72 tall by 15,000. So, it has to look the same, it has to feel the same, have the same energy, but you can't just take that same file that you put on the video display and slap it and tile it a million times around.
Right.
You know, and
that's what I would have done.
Well, and unfortunately, there are some companies that do that. You know, some
really?
Content creators that, I mean, essentially they're so used to creating content for a video display that they struggle with the pro ad. So really that's, I feel what Daktronics does very well, you know, our pro ads, you know, we've been doing it for so long, you know, and we have a lot of experience with what makes a pro ad really look good and really work inside the facility that, you know, I think that really sets us apart from a lot of our competitors. And, you know, like I said, the interactive stuff to me, I mean, it's exciting. The stuff we got coming out, seeing what the, you know, our team's got working on for a lot of the dynamic content, you know, some of the new partners that we're working with, you know, we're doing stuff with audio, we're doing stuff with lights. It's it's pretty exciting to see what we got coming out.
Yeah, engagement and interactivity is a lot of what venues are going for today, especially with their content and trying to do new trends and bring anything new in to make that experience more exciting for their fans and to keep them coming back for more. We just want to say thank you, Jerry, for stopping by. I know you were in town. I hope you enjoyed coming and visiting with us, even if we found out that neither you or Matt could say audio or pre-visualization. Oh. Yeah.
Pre-visualizations. Almost. All right. So I'm the second
there
one.
There we go. Say.
I'm not even going to attempt it again. I don't want it.
No, I appreciate you guys having me on. No, I think this is very exciting what you guys are doing here with the new Dactronics podcast. I look forward to more episodes. You guys, I think, are getting the swing of it and getting the hang of it. So
awesome. Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening to the Dactronics Experience podcast. For more information, visit www.dactronics.com.